तन्यामनोभिष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः खुदामय्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुथापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं त्रिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So it is indeed my honor and privilege to be amongst all of you, and I am very grateful to all of you for coming here for the Sunday feast in a very exuberant and a very enthusiastic spirit. And to thank all the devotees who performed that drama, enacting a live scene of a typical Indian village of today. So, today we are just embarking on a topic from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is the conclusion of the Mahabharata war, the war of Kurukshetra, where millions and millions of soldiers have been slaughtered on the war, and all the Kauravas are killed in this fratricidal war. And when Yudhishthir Maharaj, along with all the Pandavas, other Pandavas, going to see the whole situation of the war at the fields, are seeing mutilated bodies, like sea of these bodies floating. It is like a sea, and there were so many like logs of wood floating in the ocean. There were so many bodies with mutilated hands, feet, heads, bedecked with golden ornaments, jewelry, trunks of elephants, horses. This was a very, very ghastly scene. And what was Yudhishthira Maharaj's response? And he was very much agreed. They went to the banks of the river there, and they performed the ceremony for the departed souls, and they had a huge mass funeral ceremonies. Thereafter, there was a coronation of Yudhishthira Maharaj, in which Yudhishthira Maharaj was coronated the king, the emperor of Hastinapur. And thereafter, when Yudhishthira Maharaj is going to visit the palace of Dhritarashtra, and meet the aggrieved parents, he has he has great grief seeing their bereaved condition. So there are Brahmanas following Yudhishthira Maharaj and all the Pandavas, and one of them is a friend, one Rakshasa named Charvaka. He enters into the assembly disguised as a Brahmana. As he goes disguised as a Brahmana, he tells Yudhishthira Maharaj, as he goes, said, since you have caused the great suffering and pain and distress for the family of the Kurus, you need to atone for your sinful reactions by giving up your life. All the Brahmanas were shocked. They did not initially retort. But then Yudhishthira Maharaj was very mortified. Anyways, he was very much dejected and lamenting. But then, this is how Yudhishthira Maharaj feels, that he really must give up his life. Right? And then it so happened that when Yudhishthira Maharaj was feeling so, the other Brahmanas realized and discovered this personality named Charvak, disguised as a Rakshasa, disguised as a Brahman. And immediately they told Yudhishthira Maharaj that this is not a Brahmana, he is a Rakshasa named Charvaka, a friend of Duryodhan. And therefore they immediately discovered him and they chanted a mantra, and then they killed this Rakshasa. And then they proceeded forward for the ceremonies. But Yudhishthira Maharaj was still mortified. He was not having the will to rule. And he was lamenting on his own deeds that caused so much of destruction of humanity, of his own friends, of his own relatives, of his own gurus, of his own elders. Krishna, all the Pandavas, one by one, Arjun, Bhim, they tried to convince Yudhishthira Maharaj that what he did was not wrong. It was providence, it was destiny, and he was simply an instrument in the hands of destiny. And this was the need that was to be executed. But Yudhishthira was not to be consoled. So he was then convinced, Srila Vyasadev came, and he too tried to convince Yudhishthira Maharaj. Lord Krishna tried to give him so many advices. In fact, we hear the Bhagavad Gita given to the inconsolable Arjun at the beginning of the war. But the same knowledge which Lord Krishna tried to give to Yudhishthira Maharaj would not cause any consolation for Yudhishthira Maharaj, nor any decisive action for him to rule. So, this was when Yudhishthira Maharaj had come to the palace of Krishna, and Krishna was sitting in a very meditative trance. And Yudhishthira Maharaj asked him, "What are you trying to meditate on?" He said, "I am thinking of Bhishma, who was lying on the battlefield, laying on the bed of arrows, shot by his dear grandson Arjun. And he is waiting for us. Let's all go to Bhishma and let's try to take some advice from him." Because this was a time when Lord Krishna had decided to give his holy darshan to Bhishma, who was waiting for him, and at the same time give Bhishma that opportunity to preach to Yudhishthira Maharaj on the most significant part of human existence, is the need for ideal governance. We're talking about everything in this world is being discussed about governance. The way the country is sliding into doldrums of economy, poverty, unemployment, insecurity, social unrest. So this was the time when Yudhishthira Maharaj was to be given a very important discourse. In fact, when Lord Krishna took all the Pandavas along with the whole armies, they went to Bhishma on the first day. And then Bhishma was very happy. But then Krishna wanted Bhishma to speak. But Bhishma was so old, he was so tired, and he was on the bed of arrows. What he could have spoken? Because he was so ridden with arrows, paining, drenching blood, so much of exhaustion, and being on that bed of arrows for such a long time. Such a mentally disturbed condition a person would be in. Someone just rests on a hospital bed, if admitted for 2 days, is so mentally disturbed. Imagine Bhishma Dev. He was being there for months. But then Krishna has inspired Bhishma. In fact, he goes to Bhishma and Bhishma, he tells to Bhishma, "Please speak on the subject matter of governance and the need to rule the citizens and the method and the process to do so. Because Yudhishthira Maharaj is so inconsolable that he is having no clue what he should be doing now. He is completely indecisive. And we have all failed. And Bhishma says, what can I do? I am similarly incapacitated because I am weak, I am old. But then, and what can I speak in front of you, O Lord Krishna, my Supreme Master? But then, Bhishma is given benediction by Krishna. He said, I give you the benediction that your memory will not be clouded, will become unclouded, your understanding will be very perfectly clear, your mind will remain free and fixed in pure stage of Shuddha Sattva, and your spiritual vision will reveal all the subjects effortlessly. This was the blessing given by Krishna to Bhishma. Though he himself could have done that to Yudhishthira Maharaj, but he empowered Bhishma to speak this subject matter to make it more relevant to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Because Yudhishthira Maharaj was connected in blood relationships, and he was affectionate towards Bhishma. They had a family connection, intimate than Krishna in one sense. They were cousins, but Bhishma was the grandfather of Yudhishthira Maharaj. So this is where, in Krishna consciousness or even the spiritual life, the Lord always wants to give credit to his devotees. He wants his devotees to do better than him. Similarly, when Srila Prabhupada was preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world, he was telling his disciples, I want you to do more than me. I am an old man. I have done something very little. That too I have done on the basis of your support and help. You all are very young, very dynamic, and you have a long future in front of you. And you have to do something bigger than what we have done. In fact, that's how Srila Prabhupada would empower his disciples to do something more wonderful, more miraculous. And he would challenge the Americans. What is the value of you being American if you can't do something wonderful? Right? This is how Prabhupada encouraged everyone. And Prabhupada would often say, I like America more than anyone. Why? Anywhere. Because it was in very great difficulty that only Americans helped me to preach Krishna consciousness, whereas Indians, they rejected that opportunity. And I went in a bunch of illiterate, not so educated hippies. They helped to preach this movement worldwide. I am forever indebted to this America. And Prabhupada actually says that, this country is very special in my heart. So in one sense, Srila Prabhupada used that wonderful opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness from the Western world, because that was the seed of empowerment given by his guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That you go in the Western world and preach in the English language to the Western world. Right? Why? Because this tradition of India is dying at its roots, where it's supposed to grow, where it grew, where it flourished. Sometimes, it happens that the very roots at which the tree grows, the roots are not seen and they become obscure, and sometimes the offshoots of those roots, they become more luxuriantly and they grow very prosperously. But if you don't take care of the root, the offshoots won't remain for long. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada wanted to preach, grow the tree, because the shoots close to the roots were not prospering. So he made that attempt to grow Krishna consciousness, to spread Krishna consciousness in the Western world and then bring it back to India. And now Indians, enslaved by the British rule foreign invasions for a long time, had always the mentality, the West is best. Even now, anything comes from the West has a preference for Indians, something wonderful. A person was saying, an Indian businessman was saying, that if he has to get deals in India, he tried a lot, but it was so difficult for him. So he realized that there was a very much adulation and adoration for a Western, for a white-skinned person. So he hired a very ignorant of his business, a secretary person, a lady, and especially ladies. So then this is the plus point. So he brought and told her, don't speak anything about business. Don't tell anything about business. Just keep talking generally. And he clinched many deals in India. So Srila Prabhupada used this Indian mentality, dovetailed them to accept, for them to accept Krishna consciousness. But that was something that was a need of the hour and was done. But Srila Prabhupada actually was empowering his disciples to do something much more wonderful. Prabhupada had written the Bhagavad Gita way back in 1939, the first manuscript of Bhagavad Gita. In Chennai, he lost the whole translation of that which he had compiled. But he went to the West, he realized the need, because he was reading from Dr. Radhakrishnan's Bhagavad Gita. And was real difficult to know. He had to interpret it the bhakti way, the parampara translation. So he realized that the disciples, the future disciples, would need the books. So he wrote, he compiled the translation and commentary of the Bhagavad Gita in the West, and he wanted it to published, to get it published. He tried to get through his disciple Rai Ram, but he could not get it done. So then he tried to get it called Brahmanand Prabhu, and said, you go and go to Macmillan and see if you can get it published. And like he said, you go and get this Bhagavad Gita translation published. He didn't know how to do that. At that time, Srila Prabhupada had recorded an album of record of kirtans, original soundtrack. That was the Happening album. So then it was very famous at that time. It became very famous. So this album was very much in demand, and at that time it went to one of the orders came from the Macmillan company at that time, and they told that this we require, they ordered a copy of this album CD. So when they got an order from Macmillan, they were very excited. Srila Prabhupada, this is from Macmillan. Prabhupada said, do not deliver this by courier, don't just post it, you go personally and deliver it. And when you meet someone there, you tell them, I have my guru from India and I have a copy of Bhagavad Gita to be published. Just tell this much. He said, how come it's going to work? So he went to the Macmillan publishing house, went to the address of the person. Unfortunately, there was a clerk and there was no connection as to how he could communicate this statement of Srila Prabhupada. Suddenly at that time, a senior person came. His name was James Wade, and he asked for the copy of the CD. And as soon as Brahmanand Prabhu saw this person, he said, sir, I am a disciple of a guru who has come from India, and I have a copy of Bhagavad Gita to be published in the English language. He said, wow, I was looking, we have every other scripture and we are looking for a Bhagavad Gita translation to be published. Can you bring this copy? And that's how he was shocked. The first Macmillan edition of Bhagavad Gita was then published. And then Brahmanand Prabhu went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, did you know what happened? They actually going to take your Bhagavad Gita to publish. Prabhupada said, that's all right. As if he knew it. As if it was going to happen. And Prabhupada always knew that it's going to happen. The only thing was that how much his disciples would take faith in the stride, the complete effort along with faith. And that would make it combination of faith and effort would make his prophecy come fulfilled. To the degree we have that spontaneous, that intense faith, to that degree reciprocation will be there. So therefore here, same way, Lord Krishna is empowered Bhishma Dev to speak, and because he has accepted the faith and good faith, and he has complete allegiance to Lord Krishna's instruction, therefore he is taking this initiative to explain to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And therefore this is something, the subject matter of discussion, which is so very very essential for the society of times today and future to come. And therefore we see that when Bhishma Dev was lying on the bed of arrows, he was actually, everyone was visiting him. All the great sages came to visit, as if a great person was to leave the world, and it would be a very great, very important lesson for the whole world as how a Vaishnava lives this body. And therefore similarly, we will find, and we will just discuss a little bit of detail as to how Srila Prabhupada's departure from this world was exactly like Bhishma Dev. Very, very similar to how Bhishma Dev passed from this world. And what instructions Bhishma Dev gave to Yudhishthira Maharaj were the exact instructions in essence, but in variation of time, place and situation to his disciples as he was leaving this world. Therefore, great souls, actually, their departure are very, very significant because they communicate the most essential instructions, especially at their time of departure. So, this is how everyone came up to meet, and Lord Krishna himself was personally present. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned that in the purport that Lord Sri Krishna wanted the Pandavas to be present before Bhishma Dev in the most aristocratic order. He told Yudhishthira Maharaj to be dressed up in fine royal garments, as a king would dress royally. And so that as he would come and see, because that was the desire of Bhishma, to see the Yudhishthira Maharaj as coronated as king. This was his last wish. And therefore, Lord Krishna arranged this beautiful arrangement where Yudhishthira Maharaj came in this attire of a royal dress of a king. And this is how a Vaishnava life is all about. A Vaishnava life is about how devotees come together in a community to glorify Krishna and to please Krishna in a way that there is a mutual increase of inspiration and encouragement. Now, Krishna was just orchestrating two people to meet, but he was creating an environment, a culture, in which both of them would be inspired to do something more for Krishna, to do something better for Krishna, to be the best that one could be. And therefore, in Swami Rana Swami mentioned that community is what? What is the definition of a community? A community is a facility to share Krishna with each other. That is the definition of a community. And what is the community? What would destroy a community? Envy. And what would uplift a community? Appreciation and gratitude. And therefore, when the Brajvasis were celebrating Krishna's birth, appearance in this world, all of them dressed in very nice garments. The ladies were dressed in very fine saris, silken saris with pearls, necklaces, diamonds, jewels. The men were dressed in beautiful clothing, very rich, opulent, and all of them were coming to the house of Nand Maharaj. Now, in Krishna consciousness, the idea is that one has to be very simple. And one has to be simple living, high thinking. We're talking about, right, we found that the theme of the drama was to keep life simple. But how is that one is dressed opulently? Right, and then all those ladies, Maharaj was mentioning in the class that all the ladies were dressed in beautiful pearl necklaces, some had diamonds, some had pearls, and those who were wearing pearls did not complain to their husbands that, you know, why the other ladies have diamonds, why don't you get diamonds for me? Right, and therefore that's how Krishna consciousness is. Each one, because they are not thinking that I am the center. The devotee who is dressed up and attired in a beautiful way is simply decorating herself or himself for Krishna's pleasure. And when we bring the I in the picture, then we have regrets, envy, and we have dissension and jealousy. Therefore, their pleasure was Krishna's pleasure in the center, and therefore though they are so happy that everyone is dressed so beautifully. And Maharaj was saying it's not that everyone gave up their all beautiful clothes and came in tattered clothes to the function, because that would not actually please Krishna. To be dressed up nicely, very nicely before Krishna is actually devotional service. When you come before the deities, is not that we are going to show ourselves to the people around, but we are going to come to have how Krishna is going to see us. And that is the meaning of darshan. Darshan means how is our disposition, our consciousness. And that means whatever our consciousness will be and whatever we do in that consciousness actually makes that beauty complete. But doesn't mean that we become externally callous, we become neglectful of even social etiquettes, but we incorporate all of that in a way that is pleasing to Krishna. So therefore this is Yudhishthira Maharaj, and therefore Rohini Devi also, though she was away from the husband, she also dressed very nicely. So this were, there are some beautiful instructions. In fact, when Lord Krishna, when he personally came before Bhishma Dev, he personally offered his obeisances. Though he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he himself offered his obeisances to Bhishma Dev as a matter of social etiquette. And therefore, I remember once, there was a program in Babulnath. The Sunday feast was there. There was some renovation in the temple. And sometimes devotees think that, you know, because we are devotees, we have transcended. Especially all the rules and social norms and rules of the state, because we are transcendental to the state, right? These are very petty things. These are very insignificant. We have surrendered to Krishna, right? So Krishna will take care of us. Even if there is some sin, he will pardon us. So I think so. Earlier there was New Year. On the New Year's Eve, devotees would go on Harinam and they would just, you know, take the streets by the storm. They would purposely walk, you know, in the street and do Harinam and show that, you know, how Harinam is supreme, and have blocking traffic jams and, you know, just walking disdainfully on the street. But actually, people were not getting inspired to chant Hare Krishna. They were thinking that these are a bunch of, you know, the same kind of people but just different kind of chants. So therefore, it didn't create much impact. And the same way, one devotee was seeing His Honor Rana Swami Maharaj to go to the Babulnath temple from here, just crossing the street across. And there is some sort of a pedestrian crossing there. And there are cars which keep running from that line, and if the pedestrians have to cross, they have to wait for the signal for them. So in India, no one crosses, you know, no one sees the signal. Signal is for cars, not for human beings. Roads are for bulls, men, cycles, rickshaws, amulets, men. Men, if they walk, others should follow the etiquette, you know. They should follow our ways. So sometimes people just walk and they say, look, I'm walking, you just wait. So they take this role, and everyone was crossing, the vehicles were like, oh, come on, we are in a big group, let's just take over. So everyone kept on crossing that way. And Rana Swami Maharaj was just standing there, and he was waiting for the pedestrian signal to go green. Only when that went green, he crossed that. He could have just gone, right? He's sannyasi. He's the most transcendental of, he's the highest order of the Varnashram, right? So he could have just taken that stride. But he also followed that norm. So therefore, Krishna here personally follows the norm and etiquette of the social customs of those times and offers his respect to Bhishma Dev. And when Bhishma Dev sees all the Pandavas, he has tears in his eyes. And he's seeing that how come this, alas, this Pandavas, they were so pious, they were so religious, they had Lord Krishna on their side, they are so qualified, they were so powerful, they were so strong, they were so qualified. How is that they suffered so terribly at the hands of Providence, the Kauravas? And that's when it is explained that these, even though actually they suffered a lot, they were protected by the Brahmanas. They were still protected. Anyone have undergone their suffering would have not survived for long. And therefore they were protected by three categories: the Brahmanas, God and religion. These are the three principles to survive any tribulation or distress or painful condition in the life of a devotee. Three things. Srila Prabhupada mentioned the three principles, that as long as a person is in fully in cooperation with the will of the Lord, the first. The second is guided by the bona fide Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. And thirdly, one who strictly follows the religious principles. Therefore, Brahmanas, God, and the following of religion. Anyone who does that will definitely receive the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, ultimately, this was explained. In fact, as Krishna explained to Arjun, the basic philosophy of the Gita in one chapter, but yet Krishna, Arjun wanted elaboration. Therefore, the third chapter to the 18th chapter is nothing but the elaboration of the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which was actually in essence enough in Krishna's terms to convince Arjun. Similarly, Bhishma is giving the necessary insight and perspective to Yudhishthira to continue to rule in a very pious and righteous way. But Yudhishthira Maharaj is still inconsolable, so he explains. In fact, he says, Prabhupada mentions, everyone has to bear the actions and reactions of time as long as one is within the conditions of the material world. Prabhupada was asked, Prabhupada, when will the problems end? Prabhupada said, only when Mahavishnu inhales. That is the only time when problems will end. Therefore, these problems are not going to be solved, are not going to be finished. If we take to Krishna consciousness, the initial idea is that we have come to bhakti, things should become easy now. But actually, things become more difficult because you have to add 16 rounds to your daily schedule. And now you cannot eat anything anywhere, anytime. You cannot say anything. You cannot sing anything. Right? Though you want to sing. You cannot watch anything, though eyes are just dragging you to those cinema halls or posters and billboards, and you want to see, but you know, if your devotee is around, Prabhu, you are in Maya. So you can't do that. So many difficulties. After becoming a devotee, who said life is going to become easy? We preach that way, just to make them feel better. Actually, it's not so easy. Therefore, Bhishma is not telling Yudhishthira Maharaj, things are going to become easier for you. Now you're going to rule, now everything is going to be a cakewalk. No. Bhishma is telling that you have to tolerate. It is time, it's Kala. And what is Kala? This age is the age of Kali. Therefore, we should expect no situations like Dwapar, or Treta, or Satyayuga. And this Kali Yuga is not progressive. This Kali Yuga is degrading. What we should expect? More degradation. More difficulties, more inconveniences. Does that mean we should give up? Is that enough discouragement? In fact, this whole chapter where Bhishma Dev is giving instructions to Yudhishthira Maharaj is especially for the troubled residents of Kali Yuga, who are looking forward to take shelter of Krishna and Krishna's instructions to make their life a roundabout turn around in bhakti. Therefore, Yudhishthira Maharaj has gone with a great mortified mind, distressed, depressed, and in great despair. How is Bhishma going to talk, going to speak, going to present in such a way that Yudhishthira Maharaj is going to go inspired, encouraged, enthused, active, and all the more very, very ecstatic, blissful to serve in that capacity? Because what we are doing before coming to bhakti, we are going to do that the same thing after coming to bhakti. Not that you're going to change your occupation, not that you're going to change your social status, not that you're going to change your attire altogether, except when you come to temple. I mean, how many of us would go the same way to the office the next day? Hardly anyone of us. So nothing has changed actually, externally. But what has changed is the consciousness. And to change the consciousness is the greatest effort that is required. Therefore, sometimes people say, sometimes one person asked, he went to the sage and he asked, Guruji, please, can you help me perfectly fix my mind and focus to achieve enlightenment? How much time will it take? And he said, 10 years. He said, 10 years. I mean, good that we were not told this very frank reply when we came to bhakti. Oh, bhakti is very simple. You'll go back to God. We told pastimes of Khatvanga Maharaj. No, he just remembered Krishna at the moment and he went home back to Godhead. So nice. Dhruv Maharaj 6 months, Prahlad Maharaj 5 years. Maximum 5 years. Not much time, 6 months. Oh, you come to bhakti and we think 1 year, 2 year, and suddenly, you know, suddenly there will be enlightenment and we'll be like, you know, pure devotee. There was a concept in the West at the time, a pure devotee syndrome. Devotees were expecting to become pure devotees very soon. And therefore, this sage said 10 years. And then it was asked that, you know, what if I work a little harder? I put some more discipline. I put some more effort. Then how much will it take? He said, then it will take 20 years. I said, why? He said, why? Because your entire focus is on the consequences, the result. As much as your effort, as much as your focus is on the result, to that proportion, you will not be able to focus on your effort. And therefore, when your effort is compromised, your results are naturally going to be compromised. So therefore, in bhakti, we may not be able to analyze our results of coming to bhakti and what may happen. But if we simply think, I haven't reached anywhere, I haven't been anywhere, so many years have passed by, I am doing the same thing, I am in the grip of the same problem, I am covered by the same ignorance of maya, I am covered by the same veil of Devi, Yoga Maya Shakti, sometimes. So how can I ever expect any advancement with this very despicable condition? Therefore, the whole effort was said that what is in destiny or what is in conclusion is never our adhikar. Our adhikar is our complete effort, our complete enthusiasm and complete dedication to fall in line with the will of Guru and Krishna. So the more we execute the will and the more degree that we put our attention to search out our conscience to be aligned to that will of Guru and Krishna, to that degree we are by nature progressing. So this was explained, and therefore Prabhupada said, therefore one has to be patient and tolerant. And therefore once Prabhupada was on a plane, and then there was a group of football players who had just come and won some match, international match, and they were all in the plane, they were drinking and they were, you know, just saying it aloud and they were disturbing a lot. So then the devotee disciple, he told to Srila Prabhupada, told to the stewardess that please tell them to behave. And then second time it didn't happen, so again he went and went to complain. Prabhupada said, sit down. He said, just tolerate. If you are going to become disturbed by them, then what is the difference between them and us? They are already disturbed and you are going to become disturbed because of their disturbance. That means how far you have progressed in your Krishna consciousness. Right? So you remain here and you try to become undisturbed. Therefore people are becoming so disturbed. People not becoming disturbed, they are already disturbed. They don't have to become disturbed. It is simply the reaction of the disturbance that is causing around us. If we are not focused, we are not inwardly oriented towards searching out our allegiance, our constant attention to our dharma, our duties, to that degree we'll be constantly become distracted by the deviations and the disturbances around us. Therefore Yudhishthir Maharaj has been given that inner will and strength first. Then he is preparing Yudhishthir Maharaj to outwardly express that will in a very constructive way. A devotee's life is not just inward. We were discussing yesterday, Chitraketu Maharaj was cursed by Parvati Devi But inwardly, he accepted that curse very graciously, very gratefully. But when he was cursed to become a demon like Vritrasura, when he was a demon with the heart of a devotee, he never spared his efforts to express his activities of a demon in any compromising way. Right? So therefore, just as the heart of a devotee is a very, very strong will, similarly and very tolerant, at the same time externally is a very, very responsible and accountable personality. Therefore, Bhishma Dev starts his instructions and he says, all prosperity depends upon Kshatriya. If any dharma, artha or kam has to take place in civilization, it is only because the Kshatriya is a qualified governor. He said, first one must select a good king, then one may get a good wife, and then one can begin earning wealth. Because if Kshatriya is not a good king, the king is not a good Kshatriya, is not a good king, then his wife and wealth will be plundered by very dangerous kind of rulers. Therefore, he says in the second phase of instructions, therefore six kinds of people must be carefully avoided. Now, it's a very wonderful instruction as which kind of people he is mentioning. Just like Arjun took no time to understand instruction of Krishna, but we take so many Gita courses. We take basic Gita course, then we take advanced Gita course, then we have 108 key verses, then we have chapter by chapter, then we have Bhakti Shastri. And yet, when we go to Bhagavad Gita, we have still not understood a fair part of it. Right? 15 years, 20 years down the line. And we are always, when we came to Bhakti, this is Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita 2 years. Bhagavatam 4 years, CC another 2 years, 8 years, 10 years, finish. But never happens. Because the more you go to the Bhagavatam, more you go to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the more you go to the Bhagavad Gita, you realize there is something happening new out there. Why? Because nothing new has happened there, something new has happened inside. Right? Therefore, nothing is old. Everything is gold. If you are cold, everything is old. Right? If you are not doing, if not reading scriptures regularly, if you are not sharpening your intelligence, we are not trying to apply these instructions very dynamically in the real world, then we will find a lot of conflict. We will find a lot of theoretical nature of the Shastra. We will think this is only for Brahmanas. This is only for learned people, intellectuals who have understood and have grasped the essence. And therefore, there are six people he is saying that one should carefully avoid. Like a leaking boat at sea should be avoided. First is a guru that does not speak. Mauni Baba. Just give Ashirvad. Do not go there. Second, the priest that does not know Shastra. Does Yajna, does Aarti, does Puja. But when you ask about which Shastra and why we do it, doesn't know. Very dangerous. Third person, a king that cannot grant protection. Fourthly, a wife that speaks disagreeably. Fifth, coward man that likes to stay at village. How can coward man stay in village? Cow herd means here to herd the cows. And cows are not to be staying in one place. Cow had to be herded. The word cow herd means you have to move with the cow. But if a coward man says, I will be staying in the village, you have to give up the company of such people. And sixthly, a barber that likes to go to the forest. The underlying meaning of the statements are that one should not avoid responsibility. One should be fully accountable while living this world and fully assume the nature of responsibility and duties. This is a very strong instruction given to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And therefore, Yudhishthira Maharaj has been given further. And he is asking, can you tell something about hope? Because Yudhishthira Maharaj was hoping that Duryodhana will give up the effort to fight, that obstinacy to fight at the beginning of the war. War chal hone ke pehle Duryodhana bolega, "Theek hai, hum sulha kar lete, we'll make peace." And Yudhishthira Maharaj was hoping that, Yudhishthira Maharaj was always an idealistic person, he was hoping that everything will happen according to Dharma, because it's Dharma Raj. right? And he didn't have to do something adharma way to protect dharma. So he was thinking that Bhishma Dev was asked, can you tell me something about hope? So he told a story. Bhishma Dev's instruction in the Mahabharata are simply stories and stories and stories. You'll get tired of hearing the stories. They're such long stories, right? I don't know how many stories we can actually tell, but there's so many stories that have very practical wisdom value. And therefore, he's saying there was a king named Sumitra who was running after a deer, a king. He was chasing this deer and came to the... And the deer was sometimes eluding, sometimes eloping, sometimes disappearing. So then he went ahead and met a rishi named Rishabha. And he went and he asked him, "Sir, have you seen that deer? And I was hoping to get this deer. How is that one can get this deer?" He said, "Well, I will tell you my story. There's a story within a story within a story. So you have to be attentive. You can't just, you know, if a moment is lost, attention, you will enter some other story. And you will not understand this story. And then we'll ask, what was the story? Woh story kya tha class ke baad? Achha story tha, but I didn't remember. Because something happened, there's a story, there are so many stories. And probably at the end of the class, you'll be wondering which story to remember. For which context? Yudhishthir Maharaj had perfect intelligence. Imagine, Bhishma Dev is speaking the stories at the time of death. How many stories will remember? Hardly anything. If you remember holy name, that is enough. Therefore, Hare Naam, Evahi Kevalam. Kalau Nasti Va Nasti Va Nasti Va Gatir Anyatha. You may not have to remember stories, but you may just be fortunate enough to remember the name of Krishna. That will be the success. So, but imagine, to give an instruction at a time of death is the highest welfare charity. Therefore, it was Parikshit Maharaj was hearing from Shukdev Goswami. He was fit physically. Both were fit. But Bhishma Dev is pierced in his body with arrows. He has pain. He is not like made up of... His body is not like POP or cement or plaster. It's flesh. Sometimes you may think it is a diorama. Bhishma Dev sleeping on the bed of arrows. Diorama ko kuch nahi hota hai. But actually he was feeling that pain, that distress, but his intelligence was so clear because he was empowered by Krishna to speak, and because it was his desire to enlighten Yudhishthira Maharaj. Because it was the future of the whole world at stake. The amount of responsibility that Bhishma felt was the responsibility which Yudhishthira Maharaj assumed. You can only get something in heritage which already exists. But something if in heritage which is so much of value is lost, is plundered and maybe dissipated, then what can we receive in heritage? And that is what is happening in today's terms. We will have nothing to inherit if we have nothing valuable remain in the source. If our source, our roots are damaged, and we have no idea of where we came from, what is our culture, what our tradition, what is the philosophy, what was the society, then what will happen? We'll have nothing to share with the coming generation, including nothing for us. Therefore, Bhishma Dev is feeling that intense responsibility, that accountability. If I don't do it, it's going to be a great disaster for the world. It's going to spell disaster. So he's saying hope. And he's saying that this Rishabha went to another sage, and he was going to Badrikashram, and he found this sage named Tanu. He was a very slender personality and a tall, four times the height of an ordinary person in Badrikashram. And this sage was asked that what is the extent that one can keep hoping? So then he says, there was another story that he remembered. I hope you remember which story was this. The third or the second? This is the third story, right? The third, third loop. So he said there was a king named Viradyumna who came searching for his son who was lost, Buridyumna. And he kept on searching and came to this sage called Tanu who was meditating. He asked, "Have you seen my son? Will I ever, what is the hope that I will get my son back? What are the chances?" And he said, "The hope to get your son back is as thin as my waist, because we are very thin sage. And as much as a hope of an old woman to bear a child, this is the nature of hope. Even an old woman wants to bear a child. One places hope in an ungrateful person, and one's father's hope to get the lost son back. This is the extent of hope what everyone has in this world. But he very flatly refused that your son is difficult to find. And he said, do you remember the same sage when I came to your palace and you refused charity? I am the same sage Tanu. So then he said, seeing the very despicable condition of this sage, King Viradyumna, he manifested his son Viradyumna by his mystic powers, and he received his son back. This is what Rishabha told which king? Sumitra. No. Some connection, disconnection, misconnection. No, we are not discussing Mahabharata, right? We are not discussing Bhishma Dev, we are discussing Sumitra story. No, we are discussing Mahabharata. Within Mahabharata there is Bhishma Dev, Bhishma Dev speaking to Yudhishthira Maharaj. That is the first story, right? This is the fourth story, in one story. So this is what, imagine, this is what is, and he is saying, so Yudhishthira Maharaj give up the hope that Duryodhana will behave properly. Would have behaved properly. And give up the hope that things will fall as per your expectation. Never hope. And therefore, this is what Bhishmadev speaks. Then he speaks about apadharma anushasan. That means how to rectify adharma, apadharma. He is asking that how one should become free from sinful reaction. So he is giving 8 practical wisdom steps to become free from sinful reaction. Are you eager to hear 8 steps and remember at least 4 of them? 50%. You can remember which 4 of them you remembered. Carefully study the Vedas. Right? That means you are discussing what? A part of that. Carefully study the Vedas. Second, humbly worship and serve Brahmanas. Give up all maliciousness. Praise others and admit one's worthlessness. Satisfy all with loving glances, words and actions. This at least we can try. Right? If you cannot study the Vedas and no Brahmanas and Vaishnavas if you find around, at least any people around us, we can speak to them properly. Satisfy them. Refrain from speaking very much. I think so. I should only stop. Because so much to speak, and it is in the middle of the, so I had to get free from sinful reaction, I had to stop speaking for another week or so. But Prabhupada said, because we are glorifying Krishna, if that is the only goal, that is the only motivation, then one can keep on glorifying Krishna, and yet we find that we have not done enough. Perform austerities, and 8, recite Vedic mantras. And then he is saying, there's a story. Again, are you saturated with stories? No. Yes. No. That means yes. Very less people said no. Yes or no? Sure. Sure. Yes. There is a story of Bhakti Sanskrit Maharaj who said story of yes, no and very good. You know the story? No. So there was a boy who was just very ignorant, and he didn't know English, but he wanted to show that he knew English. Like our people here, they tried hard to speak English. I mean, they tried hard to speak Hindi because they just know English. They were trying to make up for village language. So then somehow other this person was produced in court. So he knew only 3 words: yes, no, and very good. So the judge asked him, so did you commit this crime? He said, yes. He said, are you sure? And did you do it alone or were you alone or someone else was there with you? He said, no, alone. No. And then, so you're going to be punished. You know what punished? You're going to be having 5 years of imprisonment. Very good. So this is what happens when we are actually not rooted in our tradition and we try to do something else. It's paralysis by analysis sometimes. We try to do so much of imitation. But then some principles should not be forgotten while engaging in this understanding of the discourse of Bhishma Dev. The goal is clear. The goal is clear as to how one should perform one's occupational duties in a way that one will be purified of one's own impurities, anarthas. At the same time, one is able to experience the dynamics of bhakti as engaged in the world around us. So there's a story of this thief named Kayavya. This thief was Kayavya, and he was a plunderer, and he used to bring the meat to the rishi's doorsteps and put them there. And some other, this Kayavya was very pious. He was studying Vedic scriptures, and he had great worship for respect for brahmanas. So he was elected as the head of the thieves. Thieves said, "You are our leader." And then he said, "Okay, I am the leader." And he said, "From now on, you will never kill brahmanas, women, children, and never fight with unwilling people who are not able to fight, and never steal from the houses of brahmanas." The thieves, they followed his standard of robbery, and by doing so, all this Kayavya, because he gave these instructions while even stealing, he went to heaven after death. This is Bhishma Dev's exposition. That means if one does one's duty, even if it might be occupation, might be full of faults, but if one is following the injunctions of the scriptures, then one will never face. And therefore, there is a nice story of the Sri Sampradaya. There is a king. There was a thief named Nila. This is a very nice story. Was narrated once by Madhavanand Prabhu. Very nicely narrated in Hindi. If you get, you can download it from the ISKCON Desire Tree. Very nice, sweetly has described this story of describing glories of Pandharpur in that class. So he is saying that this Nila thief was a very deadly thief. Everyone used to fear him, including the king, would not be able to accost him and defeat him. So the king got tired of him and he appointed him as tax collector. That you collect taxes on our behalf, you steal from people and give tax to me. I cannot compete with you. So this thief one day was going and there was a ball hit in his head. And he happened to see who was that. The father of the girl who was playing with this ball became very, very fearful. This Nila thief saw, "Who is this person?" And he saw this daughter is there. And instead of, he said, "Whose daughter are you?" The Brahmana was there. And the Brahmana said, "I would like to marry your daughter." So he was saying, and he said, "You can ask, I thought one problem is coming up. This is a greater problem than the previous problem that was expected. You would become angry. But now he's asking to my daughter's hand in marriage. This is even a greater problem." He said, "You ask my daughter." Daughter said, "If you will become Vaishnava, I'll marry you." He said, what do you mean to become Vaishnava? He said, "What do you mean to become Vaishnava? You just find out. You become Vaishnava, I'll marry you only. I will not marry anyone who is not a Vaishnava." So he went, and there was some kirtankar, some devotees were singing, and they were tilak and dhoti kurta. They said, "Make me a Vaishnava. I want to become Vaishnava." So that thief has come here, Nila. So he said, "Put tilak, put some nice kanti and put some dhoti," and said, "Okay, now you are Vaishnava." He said, "Now I am Vaishnava." He said, went to this lady and said, "I become Vaishnava now." He said, "You are not become Vaishnava." He said, "How come? This is how Vaishnavas look." He said, "You are just looking like Vaishnava, but you are not behaving like Vaishnava. Sometimes you wear dhoti, kurta, sadi, tilak and everything. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the eto kali chela. Attire of a devotee, but heart of a kali chela." So therefore, we might still not internalize the external appearance. And therefore, this thief said, "What it means to become Vaishnava?" He said, "Only if you feed 1,000 Vaishnavas every day and drink the water that is washed their lotus feet." He said, "I will do that." If you say that, if this is what he said, all his thieves, call 1,000 Vaishnavas and feed them. Khila unko. And then he said, chalo, pair nikalo bahar, pani dalo, piyo. So everyone gave out of fear. They were so fearful that, and as soon as they were getting invitations, they were like fearing. Nila is calling. So then he was feeding and feeding, and by feeding every day, regularly, consistently, he said, instead of coming very happily, going happily, they are all distressed coming here. What have I done? Then he started to think, there is some problem in my action. Probably I should reform. So he started doing calling very sweetly, gently, soberly. And he said, can I wash your feet? Can I get permission? Can I drink? And eventually he got addicted to serving the Vaishnavas. Now he was not calling 1,000 by number. He was calling more than that. And after some time he exhausted his treasury. He had no money left. So then what happened? He was not sending money to the king also. So the king came. He said, where is the money? He said, I am giving it to the Vaishnavas to feed. And he said, this is not how, someone said, this is not how you, a Vaishnava, behaves with the king. Because king is Naradev, he is representative of the Lord. You should behave with him well. Immediately he becomes very sober, very gentle. He said, I'm very, very sorry, but this is what we are doing for Vaishnavas. So he said, forget it all. This Nila, he was so dangerous, we used to fear, is now become Vaishnava, and with a suggestion of another Vaishnava, he is ready to reform his life. I will also become Vaishnava. So that king also became Vaishnava by this Nila's transformation. And then, doing so, that day and day he forgot why he became Vaishnava. Good. Good, we also forgot why we came to Krishna consciousness. How I came is very nice, but why I came, you should not write in the article. Right? There is a new site. How I came to Krishna consciousness. But why I came to Krishna consciousness, one writes, very difficult to write that article. Because you know why we came to bhakti. We didn't come like, we wanted Krishna prem. We were like looking to serve Vaishnavas. And like this Nila. We may have had so many ulterior motivations to come to bhakti. Therefore, this is where this thief Nila became so transformed. He had no money now. He had exhausted his treasury. So he started to loot again. His previous conditionings. And one Supreme Lord Narayan and Lakshmi came dressed as a merchant and very wealthy wife, bedded with ornaments and lot of treasures. So then what happened was that this is where Nila actually went and robbed all the wealth of this merchant. Then he went to remove all the ornaments of this lady also, who was Lakshmi ji herself. And he went, there was an ornament on the toe of Lakshmi ji, it was not coming out. So he was using his teeth to remove it. That was his greed to serve Vaishnavas. Right? He had become crazy, he had become mad, he had become obsessed, haunted. I want more to serve Vaishnavas. This is the greed. Lalyami akalam api mulyam. This is the greed, this is the qualification to serve Krishna. This is the qualification to become an ardent devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then, this Nila, as he was putting his teeth to the toe of Lakshmiji, he could smell the fragrance and he could realize this is none but Lakshmiji herself. And he fell at her feet, fell at the feet of Narayan. Narayan and Lakshmi revealed their forms. They became very happy. And then he took all the wealth he had robbed and said, I'm going. He said, where are you going? After taking all our wealth, I have Vaishnavas waiting at my house. I have to serve them. This is a Vaishnava. Krishna says to Arjun, those who are my devotees are not my devotees, but who are the servant of my devotees are my devotees. So then, this Nila kept on serving and serving, and ultimately that became the hallmark of Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, which is called Vaishnava Seva. Sripad Ramanacharya established this hallmark of the Sampradaya. And Vaishnava Seva is the characteristics of the Sampradaya. This thief made that hallmark by his intense greed. So therefore, if one has the intense greed, even if one is thief, one can actually become an elevated. Tirumangai Alvar was another devotee, an Alvar, a very famous saint in the Sri Sampradaya, who was a thief, who stole all the property of the rich people to make the Srirangam temple. Right? So there's no harm. We still visit the temple. We don't say Tirumangala Rose was a thief. He's glorified in various songs. So then Bhishma Dev is asking question after question. He is not satisfied. He wants to know so much because his grief is yet not overcome. I hope your grief is not yet overcome. It seems you are more in grief than Yudhishthira Maharaj. But somehow that we can appreciate how much Bhishma Dev has spoken and how much he was compassionate. We may never read those stories again, because that kind of greed that was there in Bhishma Dev, the same kind of greed was there in Yudhishthira Maharaj to receive more, and that's why that discourse was becoming so intensely effective in the assembly of the great sages. That's why all the sages come. When two great sages discuss, they know that this is going for a long time. We are not going to come and for an hour, 2 hours, and there is prasad afterwards. They have no confirmation when is prasad. Yudhishthira Maharaj ne aisa nahi bola ki abhi prasad ke liye break hai. Actually, this discussion took place in so many days. Each day till sunset they would be discussing, then again they would come. And it was not that after some time people started dropping out of that. First day full attendance, second day 75%, next day, third day 50%, then 25%, then only 2 people are sitting. So that is Bhagavad Katha in India. First day full attendance, Sunday full attendance, then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday we find people dropping and slipping. Therefore many people come for Gita course, but when you come for further satsang program, 1 person, 2 people. That's sometimes people think, I have done now, I have heard it, I know now, it's enough. This much I have done, I am enough. I am such a sinful person. I got so much, I am happy. So this is some kind of happiness which people have by gaining a little bit. So then he is saying, who are the great people? And he is talking about how is to have the presence of mind. Which kind of people actually flourish? So he said, the great people who have great presence of mind, who are forthright in their behavior, they get happiness. And those who are delaying and procrastinate, those who always delay, they meet with destruction. Kal karenge, aaj suna hai, parso dekhenge, ya fir not this life, next life. It's too high a subject matter. There's too much. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given such a high thing, right? Krishna prem, he's just falling into the ocean, his limbs are elongated. When will this happen? I mean, Shikshastakam is talking about all these things. But we get stuck up in second or third shloka only. Naam naam akari bahudha nija sarva shakti stattar prita niyamita smarani nakala. Niyamita smarani nakala means niyam se smarani nahi hota. Wo aita drishitava kripa bhagavan mama bhi baad mein. But then how unfortunate I am that I am not able to develop the taste for the holy name. Every day we can speak and hear, but still struggling at the second shloka. And then comes the mountain verse. Trinadapi suni chena taro rapi sahishna. Amanina manadena kirtane sadhari. Very easy to say and narrate, but the most difficult to apply. Therefore, he is saying that how one should not procrastinate. He is talking the story of the 3 fishes. These fishes are 3 sakula fish. And these 3 sakula fish, they were in the river in a very shallow pond. And one of them was very forthright. One was very foresighted. He said, soon fisherman is going to drive the whole lake. We have to leave from here. Second one was a little active, but not immediately, taking that action. But was very, very, very alert, but not proactive. So then, the third was one, अरे देखा जाएगा, जो होगा वो time में देखेंगे. We have everything, we have holy name, no problem. So then, these 3 fishes, the fisherman immediately dried up the whole thing, was withdrawing the water. The first one was a very forthright fish, just jumped and entered a bigger lake. The second one and the first one got stuck up. And the second one came in the net of the fisherman. Acted as if it got caught up and acted as if it was unconscious. But actually, he was still conscious. And immediately when it was put in the fisherman's bucket, water, it just slipped up from there and entered into another body. It was alert. But the third one was really procrastinating, very lazy. That fish got caught and was killed. And this is what is explained, that one should not wait to apply these teachings because time is very short. And if a Prabhupada would say to one devotee that you should not wait for things to happen. We must make things happen in Krishna consciousness. We should not think this person will do, that person will do, then I will do something. We should not wait, oh, this is Prabhupada's desire, but how can I do? I have no one. I am so incapable. Prabhupada could have thought that and would have not been here. It was just one person. He was told by Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Maharaj, go and preach. But he had never had any company. He would have thought, how do I do that? And he would have kept thinking, can I do it? If he would have asked that question, he would have never done it. How can I serve my spiritual master? That was a chapter in Lilamrit. How can I serve you? Not that, how can I serve you? Not that way. There are two ways of saying this question. How can I serve you? How can I serve you? I am so low, I am so fallen, I am so humble, insignificant, I cannot serve you. Other ways, how can I serve you? I have to serve you, I have to think how to serve you. That's how one should be taking the statement. How can I serve you? So when actually we put emphasis on how and not on I, then we can actually serve. If we become too I, then how can I, you know, I'm so lowly, I cannot do anything. Because you're too much I conscious. When you think of how, then you can get the strength to serve. Because then Dami Buddhi Yogam Tam, then Krishna gives the intelligence to serve. So then, this Prabhupada once, some disciples saying, Prabhupada, we are arranging a meeting with this person, she is the owner of a nightclub and she has a contact with this people, we are trying to arrange very influential people. She says, this person's contact is there, I will come to you. That person's contact, we said, these people said, we will give you back some after some time. Prabhupada said a story. Sabka answer ek story mein khatam kar diya. And then Prabhupada said, there's a lion and a crane. And the lion's mouth, there was some solid object got stuck up, bone. Got started eating the meat. Bone got stuck up in the throat. So the crane was around and said, the lion said to the crane, please help my bone stuck up in my mouth. Ah, put your beak inside and just pull it out. I will help you. I will be eternally grateful to you. I will be indebted to you for life. My generations will serve you. And he said all those things. I will give benediction if you serve. The crane was a little moved by the will of lion and the crane pulled that bone out. And then the crane was standing in front of the lion. He said, what are you standing for? He said, I am looking for your benediction. He said, you thank God that you are still alive. I spared you. Go from here now before I eat you up. So I hope you understand the moral of the story. एक तो नसीब से उसका जीवन छोड़ दिया उसने और ये पूछ रहे हैं मेरे को बेनेडिक्शन चाहिए मुझे कुछ वरदान चाहिए आपका वरदान तो मिल गया तुमको छोड़ दिया जिंदा जाओ अभी यहां से भागो वरना मैं खा लूंगा तुमको मैं सो प्रभुपाद सेड सिमिलरली डू योर ड्यूटीज डोंट एक्सपेक्ट अदर्स टू कीप ऑन अप्रिशिएटिंग यू रेसिप्रोकेटिंग विथ यू ओ प्रभु व्हाट डू यू वांट माता जी व्हाट डू यू सी नो व्हाट कीप गोइंग ऑन डोंट वेट फॉर थिंग्स टू हैपन डोंट वेट फॉर ओ दिस पीपल विल अंडरस्टैंड दिस पीपल डोंट अंडरस्टैंड दिस थिंग्स आर नॉट हैपनिंग How do I do it? Prabhupada said, don't wait for others to arrange for things. Go ahead, do whatever you can, be the best you can, but move. Don't just wait. Therefore, time is very short. Time is really very short. But this is what Prabhupada gave to us, is what Bhishma Dev gave to us, all of us. And there's another story of friendship. Are you all exhausted? No. I am getting exhausted. Because you are not getting exhausted, therefore I am getting the energy. So thank you. So how to make friendship? He said, there are the same people who are my friends, enemies, they have become enemies. So how should deal with such people who have become enemies? Who are your friends? Bhishmadev says, it is only due to time, circumstances, that is only real, and nothing else that makes one's friends or foe. That means, it's not the friendship alone that is caused. It is only an effect of time and situations. This is within the world that we live in, the legal world, the real world that we live in. Vaishnava world is a virtual world. Why? Because it is outside the real world. Because Radha Gopinath temple is a virtual world. You cannot experience real difficulties here. Prasad is here, nice, darshan is here. Everything else is so violent and so inauspicious outside. So the real world, we need to be very realistic. So Bhishmadev says, you have to be very practical in this living in this world. And saying, there's a story of a hunter. On the base of a tree, there was 1,000 holes and there was a mouse called named Palita. And Palita was a mouse and there was Lomasa who was a rat, a cat, which was moving on the branches and sometimes used to eat birds. Praying, very huge cat, not like small cats, a huge cat. And some of the hunter spread the net and the rat got caught in the net. Oh sorry, the cat got caught in the net. And the mouse also came to eat something on the net, and the mouse also was just caught in the net. But the mouse could have just run away from there. But as mouse was got stuck up in that net, there was a mongoose named Harita who was nearby. And the Harita came very close by, about to eat the rat. And there was a owl named Chandraka who was above. Both were ready to eat this rat. The rat only saw the cat now, who was the enemy, and now sought friendship in that enemy. He said to Lomasa, you please help me, I will help you come out of the net, I will just cut the net and you will both come out. So give me a shelter. So then Lomasa said, come under my belly, I will protect you, no one will do anything to you. So the rat went under the belly of the cat. And now both of them lost hope. Harita and Chandraka. Bahut sare naam ho gaye. At least in Vedic scriptures they had cat, mongoose. Western world, Western language, only cat, rat, kitten. Here there are names. Palita, Harita, Chandraka, Lomasa. Very nice names. You can remember the story very nicely. That's our Vedic tradition. You can actually remember very nicely the Vedic tradition if you read. If you take the English education system, the British education system, it would take 12 years to learn something. Not learn something to become indoctrinated. This is the only way that I'll get a degree. If I get a degree, then only I'll get a job. If I get a job, only then I can take a loan. If I take a loan, only then get a house. And to pay off that loan, I need to work hard. I need double income. So everyone in the home will work. We'll have part-time business, and we keep on engaging in that whirlpool of economic development, which actually is not development, actually it is underdevelopment. Because economically you're also nowhere, and spiritually also you're lost. Therefore, economics was, the definition of economics was household management. Why do we need economics for? Just to survive the body. Prabhupada said simple. We'll just see some few quotes to conclude. But this Harita, Palita, Chandraka and Lomasa have to be resolved first. Otherwise they'll get lost and hunter will not get any of them. So hunter wanted, Lomasa wanted, everyone had their own motivations. Now who will come out successful? Therefore, the both of Chandraka and Harita, they gave up hope. Now Lomasa and Palita, they were now together, most dreaded enemies of each other. They're under net, they're in difficulty now, therefore they're friends. Like Karna and Duryodhan, both were under net of the fear of Arjun, therefore they were friends. Right? Only that they could not cut the net. Before the net was cut, they were destroyed. Had one got an opportunity to become free, Karna was getting chance, but he did not come out, unfortunately. He could have heard this before. by Lord Bishop, by Bhishma Dev. So then he said, Palita said, I am going to cut the net now. But he remembered that if I cut the net, I will get eaten by this Lomasa only. I will only cut the net, he told to Lomasa, when the hunter is just approaching. Because as you see the hunter, you will also escape and I will also escape. If I escape now, I cannot escape, you will kill me. So he said to Lomasa, I will only cut when the hunter is approaching. He said, don't you see, I am a friend, no, I give so much of shelter. He said, nothing doing, I know my self-interest well. So then hunter came, at the same time cut the net, and both Lomasa started running. And the rat can immediately, Palita also escaped. And after some time, Lomasa was up, hunter became discouraged. And then Lomasa started speaking to Palita. He said, you are such a nice friend, why don't you come to my home, be there for some time, have spent some time, we made good friendships now. We are not friends now. You see, no, we are good friends now. You helped me. I am eternally grateful. He said, nothing doing. He kept on saying so many very, very pleasing words. But Palita said, friendship is there only in time, place, situations. And that is over now. Now I will not try to endanger my life. This is a practical instruction that we can take, right, from the Mahabharata. If one mistrusts, then everyone will say, this is all mistrust, how can our mission be accomplished? Sabko trust hi nahi karenge hum. So another story is there for that. Bhishma Dev took such a long time to explain the stories, we are doing in compress, because we have only one Sunday feast. This time I will not ask you, should I tell the story? I will tell the story anyways. Because this is the last story. I have said that before also. But this is the real last. So there's a bird named Pujani. And there's a king named Brahmadatta. Pujani was a bird, female bird, and Brahmadatta was a king. Both children were born the same day. So Brahmadatta's prince was born, and Pujani's baby bird was born the same day. They were good friends. One day the young prince and the Pujani, the bird, would bring very nice fruit, which was like nectar for both of them, for the prince as well as the bird. She had affection for the king. But then Pujani was one day coming, but the young prince was playing with the bird, and khelte khelte, haath mein pakadte pakadte, usne squeeze kar diya chote bird ko, and that bird died. As soon as he came back, Pujani, she was shocked, and she just she went in anger, in revenge, took off that bird's, took off the young prince's eyes, blinded the prince, and went back. The king came, and king really felt bad. He went to Pujani and said, it's alright, I have forgotten it. You still remain in the palace. Pujani said, no. Once one has created animosity and revenge, one should not put trust. This is natural. This is natural instinct. So the king said, no, actually it is time, destiny, you know, actually we are not involved into it. Why do you think so much? He said, no, this is Mayavad philosophy. This Pujani said, there are five causes of animosity, of enmity. The first is woman. Example is Shishupal and Krishna over Rukmini. Both were fighting over them, and there was war between both of them. Land. What is the example for land? Pandavas and Kauravas. Harsh words. Kya hua harsh words? Original conflict. Dronacharya and Drupad. I don't remember you, which Gurukul we studied together. Go out. We will not give you anything in charity. So then Dronacharya become angry. Fourthly, natural incompatibility. Matlab, nature se hi wo log dushman hai. Kaun? Palita and Lomasa, cat and mouse. Natural. And fifth is injury. Story of Brahmadatta and Pujani. And therefore he said, that knowledge, courage, cleverness, strength and patience are natural friends. One should make friendship with these. Knowledge, courage, cleverness, strength and patience. And wife, relatives, companions and possessions are secondary. If you possess the primary qualities, then secondary will remain. Therefore, great souls praise actions that are good and that are formed with great intelligence. Therefore, one should follow the duty very religiously. He is encouraging Yudhishthira Maharaj to fight the war. In fact, Kunti Devi says to Yudhishthira Maharaj, you should fight. Yudhishthira Maharaj was about to give. No, we don't want this kingdom. We will not fight. And Kunti Maharaj states another story, which I don't want to say again now. This is not Bhishma Dev's story, this is Kunti Devi's saying story. In essence, she says that there's a woman named Vidula and Sanjay. And his son came back from war and didn't want to fight. He came back and he laid down. He said, what is this nonsense? Go back and fight. He said, do you want to wish that your son die in the war? He said, this is much more greater insult and disrepute than dying. So if you don't have the will to fight, at least be with those people who are envious of your enemies. Unke saath rehke sudharo. Unke saath leke lado apne enemy ke saath. Lekin go out and fight. This Kunti is telling to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Right? And that's why exactly we are to hear the supreme duty in life is dedication to the path of self-realization, and the supreme religious duty in face of the temporary duty in this world means to create an inherent gradual detachment. And that's how one should depend fully on Krishna and take shelter of Krishna in a way that we make our lives very simplified and we make our lives sparingly available for practicing Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada therefore gave some very final instructions, and we just want to put this very briefly. I'll just put up these instructions so that the similar instructions were given by Srila Prabhupada in the final phases of his earthly pastimes, where he spoke a month before exactly the similar time when even Bhishma Dev was speaking about this valuable instruction. So Prabhupada is talking on Varnashram very, very clearly. The last gift, one of the last gifts that was coming to Srila Prabhupada, we'll see this. This is somewhere in October. This is somewhere in the month of October. And Prabhupada would say that the villages were so wonderful, people were so beautiful, they were so economic and prosperous. Prabhupada saying that in India the practice was that hand grind daily. Daily there was hand grinding. No chakki, no machines, no ready-made atta. Right? Because the more you see something coming ready-made, we never know what's the beauty of it. Once Prabhupada was on a morning walk, and Prabhupada was saying, this haldi which is coming, turmeric, in the market, we should not believe the authenticity of it. We must take our haldi, we must grind it on that, what you call, pestle and mortar, how much you want, and you should freshly use, procure it. So Prabhupada wanted purity in life of Vaishnavas, to eat, to offer the best to Krishna. And that's how Prabhupada said, the women will do that. That's exercise for them, and that will keep their body fit and beautiful. Nowadays people go to gym. They pay money and they eat so much of nonsense stuff to make them, you know, look very odd and, you know, go obese. The biggest disease in America is obesity. Why? Because people are eating everything unclean, everything unhygienic, everything contaminated. But the culture was that there's a village in MP, and one of our students was telling that people in that village are propagating back to their culture, they're fighting for their tradition and culture, and they have atta. They will give the atta. The women in the village will hand grind the whole flour, and they'll be a little expensive, 6 rupees instead of 2 or 3 rupees. that too when they adulterate so much of it into it. So Prabhupada would say that this will actually make them, whatever they require for the day, they grind fresh, very nice system. And Prabhupada says, Yashoda Mai was doing that, even she is the queen of Nanda Maharaj. She was not engaging her maid servants in churning the butter, in grinding the flour. She was herself doing it. And why? Even Gandhiji said that people now in village economies, the whole system was destroyed by the British rail system. As soon as the rail system went, all the produce in the village went outside to the cities where they were getting higher price, export, and they come back to the village at an expensive price, which they could actually make it in their own homes. And Prabhupada said this village system was destroyed by the British rail system, and we are glorifying the British. The British has given us the railways. They give us so much nice judicial system, which means you keep fighting for the case, only the rich people can get justice. And that too we are fortunate. Therefore Prabhupada said that churning milk, grinding the wheat, this is their household. We have got that picture. Full engagement, otherwise gossiping. Prabhupada is giving very clear. And then, this is all reports coming to Srila Prabhupada. Very good report. It is worth seeing. If we develop our farms in India on this basis, it will be very nice. And Prabhupada is saying that farm development is Krishna and Balram. Therefore, the plow and the flute. Flute for tending cows and plow for agriculture. And therefore, farm project is very nice. The economic problem is solved. The Brahmana brain problem is solved. The Kshatriya protection problem is solved. The Vaishya business problem is solved. And Shudra labor problem is solved. Four things combined together, live peacefully, happily, chant Hare Krishna, introduce this farm project. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Therefore, he is saying, when was the railways first built? Prabhupada talking about railways here also. In the village, the producer was a consumer and the consumer was a producer. You got it? Producer was a consumer. Jo ugayenge, wo khud khatam karna hai unko. And consumer was a producer. That means he would know how much he want. How much they need, not want. When we go to the mall, our wants increase than our needs. Because there is so much of extra, we feel like that. But actually, it's not extra. That's something excess. That's something hoarding. So therefore, this is what Prabhupada was saying. And Indian people, they didn't need railways. We say, "Abhi hum log pilgrimage kitna aasani se jaate. Ek ticket book karte, hum log Vrindavan pahunch jaate. Flight rehte, to hum log Jagannathpuri pahunch jaate. So nice. But actually, when people go for pilgrimage, what is their consciousness? We will not come back. They write, they make their will ready. हम वापस आएंगे कि नहीं आएंगे पता नहीं, ये हमारा विल तैयार रखो. That is तीर्थ यात्रा. But we go to the pilgrimage with the confirmation कि confirm tickets है. अगर confirmation नहीं है तो हम जाएंगे ही नहीं. So our यात्रा is confirm return. If we don't get confirmed tickets, we will not go to yatra. Many devotees saying like that. Ki hum log ko tickets nahi mila, hum log yatra nahi aare. So therefore, India was not that culture. That culture was tirth yatra means they have to go walking to the holy place of pilgrimage, and then they would sing, they would glorify the Lord all the way. And therefore, this is how Prabhupada said. This is so how people have been cheated. Prabhupada said, "You, of course, if I die, there is nothing to be ruined. You are all participants. So organize this farm project, simple living." And Prabhupada is saying that the first letter has come, and along with that a shawl has come, woolen shawl from New Vrindavan farm. Satyabhama Mataji, Devi Dasi has sent this farm, and she is saying that this shawl is made from the wool of our own sheep, spun and woven here at Kitanagari. It is the first piece that we have made. And she is saying that, Prabhupada, I think that from the sky there are rains falling at nothing but the tears which demigods are shedding at the imminent departure of your prospect of your departure. Similarly, I am also crying. So please accept this shawl. And Prabhupada said, thank to her, made with our own wool. Right? Not made in... Where is the wool coming from? Made in Kashmir? Kashmiri wool, or made in sometimes China also, which is not exactly wool sometimes. You get China, you get also rice, which looks like rice, which feels like rice, but actually it's not rice, it's some plastic. Sometimes we'll not know what's getting inside our food after we discover inside. Doctor discovers afterwards what's went inside. So that's the kind of contamination that is taking place everywhere. So Prabhupada said, take, put it on the foot and put it there. It is warm. Yes, very nice, very comfortable. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, made with our wool. And then Prabhupada said, made with our wool. Our wool. Live, Prabhupada saying that, so, that is my desire. No luxuries. Live very simple life and you save time for chanting Hare Krishna. We are struggling to chant Hare Krishna. Morning, we have to catch the train. The train timing is more important than the number of rounds that we have chanted. If we miss that train, that's very great difficulty. But if we miss our rounds, we can always cover up. But if we miss the train, very difficult to cover up the stress. Right? So that has become the lifestyle. So therefore Prabhupada desired that devotees, 1977, he is telling this. Don't waste time for bodily comforts. You have got this body, you have to eat something. You have to cover yourself. So produce your own food and produce your own cloth. Don't waste time for luxury and chant Hare Krishna wherever you are. Don't be allured by the machine civilization. This is soul-killing civilization, especially European countries. Anywhere you can inhabit, it is not difficult. A cottage, you can produce your own food anywhere. Am I right? Yes, Prabhupada will do it. And Prabhupada is saying, make this community. And the final, Prabhupada is saying that unless in human society the Varnashram system is introduced, no scheme or social order, health order or any order, political order will be successful. That is October 18, 1977, one of the last conversations, like Bhishmadev departing. So actually what it translates for us, Varnashram, is what we do, we try to assist, or we try to participate, or we try to involve at whatever level. Like this, many self-help groups of villages, they are producing their own indigenous stuff. Very pure, very traditional. Instead of buying from the MNCs, instead of buying all the other products, actually we need, each city should actually take care of many villages. We cannot jump to the villages right away. But actually we can help the villages remain as they are. So if we support our livelihood with their produce, then there will be ideal combination of a city and a village. Just not appreciating their contribution, but appreciating their lifestyle is also very assisting to our Krishna consciousness. We'll make our life more happier, simpler, beautiful, and more experiential, experiencing Krishna very closely to our, in our hearts, when we actually make the whole world engaged in Krishna consciousness by actually going towards this cultural revolution along with the spiritual revolution that Srila Prabhupada brought. And Prabhupada said, 50% of my mission is yet unfulfilled. And that you will all have to undertake. You are all intelligent. Please use your intelligence and try to see how you can make it possible. And this is what ultimately Bhishmadev also finally encouraging Bhishmadev is encouraging Yudhishthira Maharaj to serve the citizens in such a way that they will never forget Krishna. They will make their lives so easy, sublime, that they can remember Krishna all the time and they don't have to struggle with so many odds of the dangers of this machine and the soul killing civilization. Day by day we are getting just sucked in the rigors of this very complex and very incriminating sinful way of producing, consuming and polluting. So we can at our level simplify, help others to make better, contribute whatever best natural. Prabhupada wanted to do with Gandhiji this project. He said these villages should be the suppliers of the products of the cities. Cities should depend on villages, not that villages should depend on cities. Because how many villages will depend on cities? All of them will come here. And there is no place. There is only slums. There is no water, there is no sanitation, there is no electricity. Imagine what will happen. If all of them come here, we will lose our luxury also, whatever is remaining. So at least sake of our luxury, we should help them to stay there. Even that is a motivation, is a good motivation. So yena kena prakarena, if we can make this happen, this will be a great contribution. The strength is in the villages, the culture is remain in the villages. If they disappear, if the economy of the villages disappear, the cities won't survive long. And that's how Srila Prabhupada wanted this kind of life, farm life, community. Eventually, devotees are making progress in that way, encouraging cow protection. Prabhupada said cow protection means increase in production of agriculture and milk. So that is cow protection. Umpteen, that was Nand Maharaj's opulence. So this is Nand Maharaj's community, churning, milking, grinding, farming, tilling. These are so wonderful. Herding the cows, this is what Krishna did. Krishna did not do much work. I mean, Krishna did not do much work when he was in the palace. He was a Kshatriya. But when he stayed in the village, Prabhupada always says Krishna was a coward boy, village boy. Though he stayed for more time in Dwarka and Mathura, but Prabhupada said actually Krishna is a village boy, our Krishna. So he is village boy of Vrindavan. So we have very fortune that Srila Prabhupada is our founder Acharya. We have been given the grace by Krishna to be introduced to such a great soul following the line of Bhishma Dev. And we have been fortunate to receive these instructions, and it's our responsibility how much sincerely we take it. The empowerment which Brahmanand Prabhu took with great faith and effort, the reciprocation will depend upon that. Srila Prabhupada ki.